Why you gotta act like a bitch when I'm with you?
We live.
Oh, snap.
I'm sorry. Are you recording?
Hold me cast forward. I got a big set of titties in my face.
Oh, Lord. So I'll put my shirt back on. Sorry.
Homie,
the lubricant.
Homie cast 14.
14.
We're at Cape Ann G Clay. We were just ripping it up on the Stoke Grills. We had the shrimp on the Barbie.
Literally shrimp on the Barbie.
And we had the sausage and the peppers and onions. And we got a big old set of titties of Craig, one of Craig's topics.
One of my topics.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah,
I'd start right there.
Well, I'm going to do the introduction.
Then we start. Then we start
come
with
back.
Speaking of big old titties, we got Craig Kimberly.
That's
Craig
right,
Kimberly,
baby.
Titty man.
Big titties in the house, nigga.
Tick bitties?
We got Chris DeWolf.
Chris D.
With a nod.
Because
people on the podcast know that
nobody knows you're nodding when you're on the podcast.
Chris, put your ears back in. Come on, pay attention.
You know what you want me to do.
We got James Eves hosting.
How you doing?
Because we didn't want to go to James's house because he's got a dog that eats people.
And Joey won't go to Rockport.
Yeah, because it's like
Joey will go to the edge of Rockport.
I'm not sure he doesn't want to go to Rockport. He doesn't want to drive home from Rockport.
Yeah, he doesn't want to drive home from Rockport.
Yes. I'm not driving home tonight.
It's literally like him driving to Connecticut, too. Yeah, it's like too far.
Yeah, true. And we got the rabbit all the way from the queue.
Dude, you live a mile from my house.
Yeah, dude. Like, I live like on the other side of town. I spent an hour and a half battling traffic, you know. But I'm here because I didn't get enough treatment
the
last week.
The fucking rabbit.
You know?
I can't.
I had a
This
in.
Is my first rabbit podcast. We've never
Oh, you weren't here for the last one?
No.
He's awesome.
Special.
He is awesome on the podcast.
Special, all right.
Number
it's
one.
Very important.
Number one, he's awesome on the podcast. Number two, we just got back from Mexico. Number three, he's got a tremendous. This is the best his hair has looked in about 25 years.
He's gorgeous, isn't he?
Did you go a new hairstyle? Did you go a new hairstylist?
He's bulging out of that jacket.
Yeah,
like
you know, a hairstylist down in Mexico, actually. I got to that guy. I spent 100 pesos. Remember, he cut my hair for 100 pesos. I gave him an extra 50 because he was a good guy.
How much is 100 pesos?
It's like
$3.
It's like $5 to $6.
Did you get a back massage for that?
Yeah. You know what? I got a little guy rubbing my feet, cutting my nails, you know, going underneath, going deep because I got that tinnitus in there, whatever the hell it is. You know?
The guy braided his back hair.
Get the ungos out of there. Get the ungos.
Yeah. I don't shave the bottom part of my back. I look like the Hobbit when I'm on the beach, you know. Or I don't know. I got a little hair on my feet, you know.
We got Rick Dowsett from Cape Ann YMCA, Cam Spindorf here.
Rick always in the nice to have Rick.
Hello.
Rick, you haven't made one for like 3 or 4 podcasts.
It's been a
Rick,
while.
Good to see Rick.
Rick back in the house.
Love it's like Rick the Ruler, Rick, yeah. But he's cooler than a Calvin.
That's right, bitches.
That's right. But, well, I think we should jump right into the whole Sports Illustrated Big Woman on the cover.
Let's go.
And I love it.
I like that you just said big women on the cover, not plus size models. You know what? That's called
fuck
a
that term.
That's
fuck
a that's
that
a
term.
Thick girl.
Okay,
on
wait,
the
wait,
cover.
Wait, 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 wait. Show
I'm
the picture.
Big girl.
Show right, the picture. Right,
yeah.
Show the picture.
Show the picture.
Because I'm going to say right now.
Who we're talking about is Ashley Graham, by the way.
That's her name.
Ashley Graham. Yes. Okay. She is literally, for some reason, well, we kind of know, but for the first, never has there been what's, quote, a plus-size model on the cover.
I think she's hotter than the last chick. I think she's hotter than Tom Brady's wife.
Does anybody, I mean, because Tom Brady's wife does look like a man. A tall, skinny, good-looking man, but nonetheless a man.
I don't know.
And nothing against her, by the way. She's a lovely woman.
I would rather this girl right here.
She's a voluptuous young lass.
Yes. So this is one healthy young American girl who is frolicking in the waves.
She probably likes sausage, too.
She's got
we had extra sausage for her tonight, but she didn't show up.
She's got some nice hips, some nice boobs.
Don't lie. Fun bags.
Brunette.
Yeah.
Damn.
Pluses on all
damn it,
of those
son.
Things.
So, harking back to Jane Mansfield
and the
classic beauties of Hollywood.
Sophia Loren.
She's not even a real big
Well,
girl.
That's the other thing, too. This is the funny thing, is they're like, you know.
She's like a 30. She's like a, you know. Like in the 50s, that's how they all look.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I mean?
Yeah, before they came
in the Renaissance period, she'd be skinny.
Yeah, that's right. She'd be
yeah, before
not be Rubenesque.
Before every model didn't eat and pulled the trigger after every meal.
Right. Cheryl Teagues actually came out and was like all against this thing
last week.
But Cheryl Teagues is like the epitome of you know you see her, you want to give her a sandwich. She's so skinny.
She needs a cracker.
It's like seriously.
Yeah. So Cheryl Teagues actually said that she thought it was unhealthy to promote It's like unhealthy. Really, of all the things in modeling that's unhealthy that you stand up for,
that's what
the girl that isn't pulling the trigger every time she has a fucking ham sandwich is the one that you rip down.
That's right. You know what I'm saying?
Personally, I like a girl that can eat a meal and actually go to a buffet with you once in a while.
Yeah. And gets up and goes a second time.
And goes,
she gets up with you the second round.
I would launch ham and cheese sandwiches at her at Fiesta during the greasy pole. Oh my God, she would just love it. Because you know what? I've done it before.
And I'll do it again.
Guy lost a paw once. I'm telling you.
Oh my God, I swear to God.
I would launch ham and cheese sandwiches at her at the greasy pole.
While she is on the greasy pole, or you were launching them from the greasy pole to the beach?
No, from the greasy pole. Here's the scene. Let me tell you what the scene is. We made a potato cannon. You know what a potato cannon is?
Yeah.
We brought a potato cannon on the boat for the greasy pole, and we were launching ham and cheese sandwiches literally.
Because we ran out of stuff to launch.
Because we ran out of stuff, and they're just like... It was just shrapnel.
Ham and cheese shrapnel.
Amen. She could launch ham and cheese sandwiches. That's all I'm saying.
She's probably launched a few ships.
I like that Greg is still holding her picture up. I'm holding it.
He's been holding up for 10 minutes.
Okay. I really can.
We're six minutes, 33 seconds.
I only get about three minutes of me, so I applaud you.
I am going to be dipping to the restroom here in a second while you guys keep talking.
I was just going to say.
We'll be right back.
Dude.
Oprah.
The fapping part two.
The fapping.
Yeah. So we had a feast.
Big titty Craig.
Going to fap.
Okay.
Right. The meal was pretty good. Everybody had. I love it. So we also should set the scene. We're at Cape Angie Clay, but we were going to do pizza tonight.
Right, because we thought it was easier.
Craig made an executive decision.
Oh,
you can hear it now.
Yeah, get that barbecue chips going.
So we were going to do pizza. Craig, it was like 65 degrees today. Craig made the executive decision. Brought the Stoke Grill over, and we barbecued, and we tailgated.
Tailgated
before the homie cast in the Cape Angie Clay parking lot. Great idea.
It was 65 degrees today.
On Leap Day, no less.
We were on the verge of ordering freaking pizzas.
That would have been a totally different gig.
This was, we were chilling out.
Everybody's input,
and all of a sudden I heard Rabbit. Rabbit was on my shoulder. Little mini Rabbit was on my right shoulder going, "What kind of pussy orders pizzas when it's 65 degrees out?" And, you know, on the other shoulder, this Joey, like, "Yo, man, I'll just pick up some pizzas." Knowing that Joey's the grill man, and I come back to, you know, Rabbit, and Rabbit's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I'm going to drive 2.5 hours for pizza." So, you know, we could have stopped at the North End. Exactly. We had to pull out the grill. So
it was tremendous.
Speaking of animals and meat.
And then we had the Cape Ann Theater Group arriving.
While we're burning meat in front of their Cape Ann Theater Group meeting.
I hope we're not disturbing them because I don't know how thick the walls are.
No, I have jam here on Wednesday nights and that doesn't bother them. You can barely hear each other.
Speaking of barbecue, so Craig and I, last year, we were talking about putting together a big community barbecue. And I mentioned, so we were at Sister Felicia's for pasta make, St. Joseph Pasta Making Day. And he, Hannah, his wife, says, "Oh, you know, this week, this past weekend or something, we donated a day over at Open Door. We cook for the, you know, the people come in and they cook for them. They take a shift and they cook, right?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh," and then a little later in the conversation, I was talking about, like, "Oh, you know, we got to get together. We got to figure out a date for our barbecue, our community barbecue." And then it all kind of came together. Like, Safathi came by later at Felicia's for coffee, and I was like telling her, and then poof, it came into my mind, like, "Let's do." Was it you that came up with the idea?
Yeah.
Craig came up with the idea, saying, "Let's do a barbecue for the homeless people at
old school barbecue
for the people at Open Door."
Right.
So we're gonna do that, and then I mentioned that we were gonna do that to Safathi, and Safathi said, "Well, I'll open up City Hall for you. We'll do it at City Hall." So it all kind of like
tremendous,
just rolling. So we got a date for it too. The date is
fantastic.
It's June 4th. June 4th is a Saturday, so it'll be
text me that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm psyched for that.
I'm very psyched. That'll be awesome. I mean, it came out of, like, so through some friends we got invited to, through another group at Open Door, which was, they were, and I can't remember their official name, but they were like a Hope's Heart or something. It's a Buddhist group. Forgive me for not remembering their name. There's some Buddhist group of people that volunteered at the Open Door. And so every time I go in there and volunteer kind of on their behalf with them, kind of cook with them and do stuff, everything they do is vegetarian, which is totally cool. I'm fine with that. But
it's not barbecue.
It's not barbecue. And but the thing is, like, then I heard that, you know, I got some feedback from people, and they, you know, when times are tough, no matter who you are or whatever, you know, to have, you know, something good cooked on a fire, they don't, you know,
cricket
on a grill, whatever, they don't get that a lot, you know. Right. They were getting veggie stuff, and like, you know, it'd be nice is some meat. So we actually convinced them into doing a meat dish recently, and their feedback was ridiculous.
Over the top.
Yeah. So, but I thought back in the summer last year, man, they feed two meals a day to people over there. These are people that, you know, no matter, you know, who you are, it's going to affect somebody near you at some point in life that somebody has a need. And these people come out twice a day for meals. And I thought, God, man, I think that they deserve something cooked on a grill like we enjoy all the time. It just seemed like something different to break up the monotony of what they've been doing.
So we're going
to
do
lasagna pasta.
We're going to do pulled pork. We're going to do pulled pork shoulder, and then we're going to do hamburgers and
burgers and dogs and stuff. Yeah.
So there you go.
That's
business. Thanks for that. Rick Dowsett this past week had a very popular Facebook post, and the whole premise of the post, he put, I think it was six photos.
Four photos. Just basically,
if you have a carton of eggs.
A carton of eggs, I use six eggs, and it's kind of like, how should they go back in the carton afterwards? Is it six across the top?
What looks most, bottom row? What zigzag them? Do you put them, so there's 12, you know, two rows of six.
Right, two rows of six.
So how would you arrange them? Would you arrange them all on the top in one straight line? Or every other one zigzag?
Or three on one and two on three on the other?
Yeah. Like, so what was, the outpouring of comments was like 150 comments.
150 comments. Basically, the majority of people had put all six double rowed on one side and then snap off the
rip the carton,
the empty half.
If it's
a paper carton, you conserving space, you can't do that with
conserving space in the refrigerator. You want to just those six can then go back in.
Oh, there you go.
So, which hadn't even occurred to me because
I never thought of that, but it makes sense.
My parents used to do it.
Because you have a full size refrigerator.
Well, my parents used to do it.
You don't live in the stuff in there, you know. The camper refrigerators have to conserve space.
So then there's just, you know, it's just food for thought around the house. If that's something to bother you now, if you have any touch of OCD,
you get
something else to look at. Or does the half gallon of milk go in the door on the bottom where it fits, or the up on the shelf?
Yeah. And well, in my refrigerator, I have one carton that has eight eggs in it. I have one carton that has two eggs in it, and I have another full carton. Right now, that's what's in my refrigerator.
Really?
They're arranged based on how they were pulled. Like, I don't rearrange eggs. I don't move eggs.
You don't
eggs.
Take them in a certain
I open up the thing, mindset. I pull the egg out, and I...
So why? But you don't have a mindset of, like, I'm taking this one particularly.
Well, because there's multiple people living in my house, and so some people...
Do you have two open ketchups?
All use the same.
I do also have two open ketchups, yes.
But why is there one with eight and one with two?
Right.
Why would there be one with 10 and one with 12?
The point of that is that not everybody in the house is aware of where all the eggs are in the refrigerator.
So they
take whatever they can find.
You just take out the eggs.
And so there's a carton that has two eggs left in it. And then we get new eggs coming in. And, you know, so Anigo will pull out some of the eggs and make, you know, and there's eight left. But the two egg carton may not be found again for another week.
Wow. Oh, fucking next Christmas.
Wow. It's just eggs. It's random.
There is no
rearranging of eggs in the egg carton in the Eve's household.
Interesting.
We could have Craig fertilize the last six. You
That's
know,
true.
With that picture he's looking
How are you on
that?
Plus size eggs?
we always plus size. Always
extra large
plus size.
Yes. Thick size.
The big that was size. The question. We like them big eggs.
Well, that was the question when you ask girls when you're out in the middle of the night. You know, I say, hey, how do you like your eggs? Scrambled or fertilized?
And you went home alone.
That's why.
Yeah, but you know,
depends upon how intelligent the girl is.
I didn't say that they would appreciate the comment.
That's about. That's
but
right.
I make them think.
That's Rabbit's move. Going home alone. Oscars. Ask him, he'll tell you. Oscars last night. Who watched it? Anybody?
The Oscars.
Anybody? There's a lot of buzz. From what I heard, yeah, that like it was just over the top. Oh, so I watched on Hulu today, this morning or this afternoon, the first like 30 minutes of Oscar coverage before it even started, like right, the introducing. So what I took from the 30 minutes that I saw, they opened up with Robin Roberts, the black lady from ABC, yep, morning show. The second person they showed on the telecast was Michael Strahan. And then Chris Rock was the host.
Oh, they were trying.
They were trying. They were trying.
I mean, it was way too much.
Right. And so then they go into like the first reel of, you know, past winners and stuff like that. Literally half of the winners that they showed in the first reel was Whoopi Goldberg and the woman, the, I don't know if she was from Africa, a really dark woman that won, I think, just last year or the year before, 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
from.
Well, can I just interject here?
Yeah.
In the Oscars, about 12% of the actors throughout Oscar history have been black people.
Yep.
About 12% of the Oscar winners are black people. So percentage-wise, it works out.
Oh, okay.
Percentage wise,
where did you hear that stat?
You're saying 12% nominated versus you're saying 12% of the actors are nominated.
Nominated, right? That's right. Yeah. Nominated. It's like, nominated. In other words, statistically speaking, however many.
Where did you hear that stat?
I read that on People, maybe.
Okay.
Somewhere online.
You did read it though. You didn't pull that out of your ass.
I didn't pull that one out of my ass. Okay. I actually read that some guy was like, you know, well, saying, well, so, seriously, so speak to the issue at hand.
No, absolutely. So I'm thinking about it, right? And a woman said, and they had the woman, you know, a black woman that was spoke very eloquently, saying, you know, there's going to be changes, and we have steps in place to ensure this doesn't happen. Which leads me to say, how do you? So, like, what are the steps going to be? Is it going to be mandatory? Whether there's a worthy black candidate or not, that you like, they just, you have to.
I think what I remember hearing is that, and I think I've got it right. The people, if you were an Oscar voter, yep, you were an Oscar voter for life. Uh-huh. So you had guys who are, guys who are 78, 90 years old voting on.
That aren't seeing that straight
aren't
out just, of Compton.
And so they aren't out. They're not in today's Hollywood. They're in 1970s Hollywood. Uh-huh. So the new gist of it will be, if you haven't had something, you haven't been active in either acting, directing, or doing something within the past 10 years, yeah, you no longer get your vote.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
That makes a ton of sense.
That actually makes sense, yeah, regardless of race, skin color, gender, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, that type
because
of thing.
You could count me out because most of the movies I didn't see.
Yeah.
Well,
and whether they were white people or black people or whatever.
I think what there's a case of is, in my opinion, there is and was racism in Hollywood, as with all walks of life. But our generation, or this generation, doesn't really recognize it because it's not
part of our role.
I wouldn't think that way.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Denzel Washington's great. I know when I was a kid, even when I was a young adult, there was talk about, you know, Charles Barkley didn't want to be a role model because right, I'm not a role model, I'm an athlete. Right. Mm-hmm. And there was the hue and the cry that, well, black kids need role models. Well, growing up, right or wrong, Reggie Jackson was my role model. It didn't occur to me whether he was white or black. Mm-hmm. This guy hit a shit ton of home runs. Yeah. You know? So it was like, there's a guy who performs in the clutch. That's my role model. Right. Yeah. Didn't matter to me what the ethnicity was. So I think there's a former way of thinking butting up against the current way of thinking, with the presumption that there's all this racial bias. Like, I wouldn't vote for Denzel Washington because he's black.
Because he's a good
performance. Denzel Washington or Samuel Jackson or whoever comes up with a great performance.
Don't you think big part of the problem is that when they cast a huge budget movie, there's like a majority of these roles are being filled by white people.
Well, I mean, the majority of them are being written by white. A majority of them, you know, kind of have white storylines because the writers are going to reflect their life and their experiences. And the executive producers, a majority of them are white, and they're going to reflect everything else. So, I mean, this is a numbers thing, and you're exactly saying it right. I mean, I think the thing that came up this year was that there was a lot of, you know, black movies or pro-black movies or strong black movies like...
That get ignored?
That everybody does, like, wow, you know, there was some pretty good roles by some, you know, a lot of black, you know, actors, and they didn't really get any nods. Mm. And I think it just, it's something that's pointed out for some reason this year strongly.
Well, last year, too. It's two years in a row now.
Yeah, there's been people nodding before, there's people won. I think that, you know, systematically Hollywood obviously is racist. It's going to reflect everything else, you know, that's going on around. And also, I think that, you know, James had mentioned earlier, there's a number about how many people are nominated that are African-American versus how many times they won. Well, it probably leans towards, you know, the more they're nominated, the more they win. This comes back to really what you're saying, Joey, is how many of these films are executive produced by black people? How many of them are majority cast as black? Yeah. When there's a movie, when a movie comes out, we don't go, oh, there's a really good white movie coming out.
No.
You know, but when a movie about The Color Purple or 12 Years a Slave comes out, there's a powerful black movie coming out.
Oh, ironically.
So what it is stating, is that's where we're still at. Well, unfortunately, that's where we're still at.
I think there's a couple of actors that transcend that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Will Smith, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, they transcend it. And they don't, you know.
Sandy Bourdier back in the 60s transcended that.
Yeah, everybody transcended. But it comes down to the dollars. Who's spending the money? Who owns the film? Who's the executive producer?
Aren't a majority of the writers white Jewish guys?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And if you go to India, if you go to Bollywood, there's going to be a tremendous lack of
white people, Asian people, African people.
There's going to be a tremendous lack of it. So you're talking about a white industry won by, you know, rich white Jewish people for the most part in Hollywood, and everyone knows it. No matter who they are, that's why it is what it is still. The racism is reflected in Hollywood just as it is in America. Shit ain't equal yet. You know, there's like one really good female director in 20 years that's won a goddamn best director film. Do you think that's the only woman that's directed a good picture?
That's a good point. Woman, you know, it's who's in charge, and also
Rick pointed out there's people that have been voting forever. I know a lot of people in LA and Hollywood that are like B actors, been in different things, bad guy in Dukes of Hazzard 20 years ago, whatever. They like vote today.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They may not have done anything major, but they're still voting.
Right. Rick, you want to bring up something?
Yeah, and I'm not like trying to choose a side and then go with it, but what I'd say is the two movies you picked out were both slave movies.
Right.
You know, and we don't sit here and say, well, what about Lethal Weapon? Wasn't that a black movie? Danny Glover played the lead role.
Him and Mel Gibson. Basketball.
You know, so
if we're trying to immigrate to South Africa,
if we keep talking about that, the quote unquote black movies are the ones that have to strive hard to tell the black story or the black experience. Well, that's what gets polarized because that's what is focused upon.
Right.
It didn't matter, aside from maybe a few comedic jabs here and there, whether or not Danny Glover or Mel Gibson were black or white. It didn't matter if Chris Tucker or Jackie Chan were black or white or Asian.
Right.
You know, so I think sometimes we're leaping toward, well, it must be some racism, when in fact we'll really know that we've got it successful when we have a black president and no one has to mention he's a black president, or a Jewish president and he's not a Jewish president, or a female president and it's not because she's female.
Yeah, that's funny.
Or it's Supreme Court, or it's head actor. It's just a person.
You talk about Obama being a black president and stuff, right? And to me, it's not an issue at all. But I do hear fucking people mention, like, you know, that black fucking president. I'm like,
yeah.
That's the first fucking thing you think about when you think about President Obama, is that he's a black guy? It's fucking sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I hear racism. It's not like not a ton of people, but there are some fucking ignorant people out there.
But that I don't want to hijack, but the fact of the race is, there was the woman who's 106 years old who went to visit the White House.
Yeah.
Right? And to see her joy and how excited she was that there was a black president in the White House was astounding.
Well, because she lived through it all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't make that any less reverse racism than anything else.
It makes
you got to talk about, like, racism won't end until there isn't a distinction.
Right. The pendulum
is swinging. Until there isn't a problem.
Understanding.
And it's not any
race that's right. actually perpetuating that. It becomes self-perpetuating.
But the
racism
pendulum,
becomes self-perpetuating.
James, I think the pendulum would have to swing past the healthy point and then back to the healthy point in order for it to be fixed.
Excellent. Right.
The fact that she's, in her lifetime, this was not even possible.
Right.
There would be a black man as president.
I would think back when we were kids,
in her life, she got to drink out of the same fountain as other people.
Oh, she's seen it all.
Right.
And I think what it is that we've, as a bunch of white guys sitting around talking, we've had a lot of luxuries that we don't really
take for granted.
That we take for granted, that we don't believe we've had. Oh. You know, that I don't get followed when I walk into a store because of my skin color. You know? Mm-hmm. Or that I don't have to worry about, Jesus, somebody really, you know, if they do. You know what I mean? That I think there's things that, and I'm just kind of like free flowing here, that I think there are things that it's difficult for us to sit around and talk about knowledgeably because we don't have that kick in the ass our whole lives on the other side. And I think that's, we're at a disadvantage here having this conversation about Hollywood and racial bias in Hollywood because
you've never experienced the extreme,
six white guys.
You've never experienced extreme reverse or been in a scenario where you're in an extreme reverse scenario, that would definitely change how anybody approaches the argument if you've ever been in that environment.
Yeah. I was in Naples, Florida. I had gone to this dive bar called the North Naples Country Club for probably 5 years with my buddies down
there. Sounds classy.
It does, right? It's divey, and it's known for like chicken wings. It's like Hooters type place right in Naples. Naples pretty white community, right? So I bring one of my best friends, he was in my wedding, black guy, D Small's in there. Good friend Brian Rabbit and I. And we walk in, and I'd been here 5 years in a row before, and fucking every fucking person in the place craned their neck around, gave us dirty looks. And I'm looking up on the walls, and I never even knew that the Confederate flag was a fucking thing of racism ever. I didn't even know. This is back in...
it was adopted as a thing of racism. It was actually about the troops.
I didn't even know this. So this is like in 2007 or whatever. Maybe 2006. 2000. And they're fucking like... I had never felt what racism was like until that moment. And Derek D. Small is looking at me like, the fuck are you doing bringing me into this fucking place for? And I'm like, dude, I've been here a million times. I never fucking knew that like all these people were, you know, racist.
They just happened to be racist as balls.
They were racist as fuck. Yeah, it was redneck, fucking southern, fucking Confederate flags all over the place.
Were you out me and D Smalls met?
No.
Well, we were working together at the time, you know, and... Where? And Jordan Marsh, one of my first jobs, he's in college and everything like that. And my car had this red truck. And I always liked that song, Sweet Home Alabama. And I always liked going down south and visiting down south, so I had a Confederate flag on my car. So I met Derek, and me and Derek are friends, and he comes out and sees my car, and he's like, dude, there's a Confederate flag on your car.
And you're like, yeah, it's sweet, ain't it?
he's like, he's probably thinking, do I want to get in a truck with this guy? You know what I'm saying?
But or is he a Dukes of Hazzard fan? That's what
right.
probably
But this whole thing, you know, the whole thing. I had that, but I never thought of it like that because it was a symbol of, you know, the Southern, you know, the Republic, you know, and it was for them, you know, it was for their war, their cause, it was their flag. It was just adopted by the KKK, which was supposed to be the ghost of
their
Civil
cause
war.
Was to secure.
To secure slavery, right. But how many times has slavery been done? Oh. How many times has slavery been done?
Some kind of innocent God.
And it has nothing to do with slavery. You had slaves, you had the Jews building the pyramids. Let's face it, the black people built the United States on slavery. That's how it became a power. We enslaved people. And it's not something that has been done just this century.
But just the blacks. It was the Italians, it was the Irish.
The Irish before that, we were actually slaves in the Caribbean. When we first came over, the Irish culture were the slaves. And you would pay double for the Irish slave, and you would mate out the Irish slave with the black slaves. Then you'd have the mulatto. So you had all this other slavery is slavery. It is what it is. You think slavery doesn't exist today? You kidding me? What people make today, and I don't care whether you're black, white, single, Asian, Jewish, Look what people make today.
So what was your point? That there's not slavery?
I'm saying that slavery will always reinvent itself. It'll find a new subject.
It's or a new way people, of rearing his ugly head.
Exactly. It's just the way it is. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, tell
Craig,
me
Craig,
you
lived in Craig lived in Virginia. What was it like down there?
Well, it's interesting. I was born in Massachusetts, but I grew up in the South from the age of seven until four years ago. Besides stints in New Mexico and stuff, I grew up in the South, known as a Southerner to everybody else. So as a kid growing up, as the rebel flag or the Confederate flag, whichever you called it, as a kid growing up in Virginia from the age of seven on.
Yeah.
I first really kind of knew about it from the Dukes of Hazzard, to be honest with you. And it was a symbol of a really cool fucking flag. Right. It was just like, not even looked at it as a flag. Was like, it was that cool thing on the top of the car.
Rebel.
Yeah, no, I thought it came with the words General Lee written underneath it. I didn't know there was ever separate.
Right.
So, especially being in television, that's a huge part, growing up in my life. So then later, living in the South, and then, growing up, understanding how the things are in the South, it was like way later, like 25 years later, that I ever knew there was a racial hatred tied to it, and that was me maybe being ignorant historically about things.
I took the thing
off
my cap,
but I didn't like have stickers, I didn't have t-shirts of it, I only saw it as the Dukes of Hazzard. I never saw it anywhere else. You get into your 18, 19, 20, and you might see someone wearing it on a t-shirt.
Right.
But when it doesn't say the Dukes of Hazzard, at that point I was confused.
Yeah.
Because it didn't, I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Rebel really. Pride.
So one, going to a private school shadowed me from some of what it probably meant earlier on, because I went to a small private school that didn't have many black kids in it, and in some years none. To seeing outside of school and then realizing, oh crap, like people associate that shit with like Klan and racism and stuff. Like that was all new to me. So I can understand why some
was
people,
the Klan out in the open?
The I mean, I never
guys
saw
just
it.
Got stabbed.
Now people have told me about running up on news? I've heard of people in the South running up and someone's got a cross burning in the yard and someone's having a party. I've heard about those things happening. Never seen any of it, you know what I'm saying? I'd never seen a Klan's person or a Klan's robe in person. Probably sent chills down my spine to even think about it.
You never saw
in the paper
or anything like that? Like,
I mean, no. I mean, God, racism's like, it's alive and strong in the South. There's no denying it. But it wasn't like in my face or, something
it
that
has
I
to be less
with.
Than it was, though, right?
Nah.
I don't know.
In the South, really? You think it's strong as ever?
I think the thing is like it's so easy for people to pass their ignorance on to their youth, to the young ones.
Yep, the imprint.
And that's why, like, if everybody got cut off from influencing the youth around them for just 1 year, it would greatly stop the, institutional racism that some people have in their lives. But, it's something that still exists. It's stronger than ever. Everyone thought, oh, well, just because we get a black president, racism is over. Well, God forbid, no, it's not. It's only gotten worse for a lot of people because you got 49% of the country that can't handle the fact that there's a black man as your goddamn fucking president. Mm-hmm. They 8 years in, they can't take it. God forbid, do you think that's going to change quickly? It's never going to change. Some of these people and their children and their children's children and their great-grandchildren are going to stay ignorant. You can't change it.
Mm-hmm.
You can try, but you can't.
The times.
Yeah.
To your point?
And they want to keep it that way. You got to understand. You can't, make an effort to change, let me show you how to cook food over a hot stove. Let me show you what hot running water looks like. No. These are people want to be ignorant. They're going to be ignorant. You're not giving them anything new by fixing their ignorance.
It's a lot about life experiences, though. Like, you live in Gloucester. I grew up, I can remember two black people in Gloucester. Growing up. So my experiences, I never thought about.
It wasn't even part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But then in 98, my friend got married. He moved to Mississippi. He moved to Starkville, Mississippi. And I went down there, and there was a black part of town and a white part of town. And it was surreal. It was like eye-opening experience for me. We went into the black store and got like dirty looks, and there's a black newspaper, and it was like a white newspaper, and it was like,
that's crazy.
This was the black part, this was the white part. And if you were in the black part, you got dirty looks, and like it was insane. It was the most surreal experience for me. When my eyes were open, I was like, wow, Yeah. Never experienced anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, Derek, I was the best man at his wedding. He's not only just a friend of mine, he's a very good friend of mine. I never looked at him that way. I just never grew up with that. I didn't know.
Well, okay. We're both, like, we love Derek. We both have love for Derek yeah. Small, black guy. When you were younger, do you remember any racism? Like, yeah. you know, like when we were kids? I think it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, from my dad. My dad.
Like, I think, like, people, like, back in the 70s, especially the 70s, it seemed like there was a lot of people would use the word nigger.
It was openly racist. I don't know if racism was
in the 80s, it totally was.
Because I'm from the South, too, and my family, you know, is from the South, so I spent half my life down in Virginia, and I remember back in the 60s, it was, you know, nigra was negra, the phrase, nigra. And it was a term of endearment in some cases. Mm-hmm. It was not at all politically incorrect to use these words. You know, high class people used them, etc. And then I remember during the 70s when, you know, there was like kind of a revolution, you know, an equal, you know, rights, and there was the revolution was happening, that like my grandfather had to start to learn, because my grandfather was KKK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so he had to learn not to vocalize his racism. Mm. Didn't mean he wasn't racist. In my personal experience, with especially people of the South, because I think racism is stronger there than it is up north. Here's the thing.
I thought that before I moved up north, so yeah, keep going.
Longer.
Keep going.
And I think that, you know, that what is worse than the South, dude?
I would think so, too.
Flat out.
I would think big city, like Northeast.
Flat out, dude.
I would think so.
Are you kidding me? Uh-huh. I've lived in both most of my life. I'm telling you right here and now, boy.
I'd say it's equally spread. I'll tell you that right now.
It operates differently. I'll grant you that it operates differently in the North, but I mean, but in terms of actually shifting, the North is more readily shifted.
Down South, they wear it as pride. Up North, it's tucked into their living rooms. That's the difference. But they're equally as racist up here as they are down south. I guarantee that.
Now, would you stop it at black and white, or do
no, not at all.
It's not at all. It's religious,
man,
it's,
woman.
Oh, yeah. Religion is different.
Yeah, exactly. It changed down south. It was black and white. You know, up here it's a little bit different, and up here it's even like, you know, up here you've got, you know, racism against Italians, racism against Portuguese, racism against Brazilians.
Oh, yeah. Portuguese. I mean, we're the quietest, hardest working people you have.
We're untouchable.
Yeah.
I
mean,
exactly.
Not like those Italians.
I think there was a lot more racism against Italians. Like, when I was a kid, when I was growing up as a, you know, again, in the 70s and stuff like that, you know, I remember, like...
You're a little Italian.
No, but I remember people, like, saying negative things.
Yeah, I remember the 70s Italians were hard hit.
I mean, you
well, I mean, listen, I'm not going to compare us to what black people had to go through. I'm not trying to say
racism. This is not about comparing.
I'm not until Saturday Night Live kid to get the Italians.
I thought it was Vinny Barbarino that made it.
Right, Vinny? Same thing.
Father Guido Sardegna.
I'm not saying it's nearly as bad as any black people had to go through, but the point that I'm trying to make is, I think it's. I will say, from my perspective, it's gotten like way less.
Right.
So, and my feeling is, like, the, you know, prejudice, black has got in the last 30 years has gotten way, way less.
Around here, I'll give you around this as my anecdotal experience. When I was a kid, I was raised on watching Archie Bunker, The Jeffersons, Zimpin' and Son, whatever was on.
Exactly.
So when Andrew, my stepson, who's 18 years old, was probably 12, 13 years old. I'm like, oh, you got to watch this. It's all in the family. It's class. And he would just sit there and go, why is that even an issue? Why is it a big deal if Edith wears pants?
Because he didn't.
Why is it a big deal if
Lionel
wants to go to college? Because for him, that's not the reality that he sees.
It's not his world.
But it's the reality that was when I was his age. Yeah. So I think from the more that it's talked about, and the more that it's, even though it's uncomfortable to talk about, the fact that we're going through this entire shit show with Donald Trump and whatever else is going on, better we're forced to talk about it than one of the phrases you guys use, kind of like it's in the living room It's not out there. It's not talked about.
Yeah.
You know, that says because we can't challenge each other's ideas if we all just assume, of course we all feel the same way. We're all want a good America. And if our own thought is, well, a good America would be, you know, a couple different classes between people, or the other person's good America is, well, we all have the same opportunity. Until we're forced to have those difficult conversations, we're not forced to really look in the mirror and look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, why the hell do I believe that? And I think there is something really healthy about having uncomfortable conversations. And if we can do it civilly without punching each other in the nose, we should have as many difficult, uncomfortable conversations as we can have, not just the six of us, but 2, 4, 6, 6. But in general, get together with people who don't think the way you think and go, help me understand why.
Do you want to know what the problem with the uncomfortable conversations is? Because if you say something publicly and the wrong person fucking wants to make an issue out of it, like they ruin your career. Like, you know, for trying to talk openly or whatever, you know, the politically correct police come out of, you know, and fucking just absolutely assassinate you.
I would say the best thing that anybody can do from the United States at any point, especially if they've never experienced certain things or none of this makes sense to them, is travel. First, if you can, travel to a bunch of different parts of this country because it is completely different all over this country. And for God's sakes, get the hell out of the United States. Go travel to some other countries. Go to Europe. Go to South America. Go to Asia. Go to Africa. Go travel somewhere. That changes a person. It can change their family. It can start to change their community. But, you know, when you get just large chunks of people that, you know, never see anything other than what they know in their little neighborhood and their block, it's not expected that they don't understand what you understand.
No.
You know? They can't.
And I would counter that in lieu of travel, the internet makes all that knowledge possible.
Yeah.
And that as much as the internet is maligned as cyberbullying and there's this and my kid can see that, the ability to exchange ideas and thoughts and viewpoints in a nanosecond far outweighs the dangerousness of it.
Isn't it as simple as just the fucking golden rule, though? I mean, really?
You wish that would work. You wish that would work.
I don't know. In this day and age, I don't know.
The golden rule works except for the people that have hate. People that don't understand is one thing. People that are undereducated is one thing. People that never experience certain things is one thing. But when people have built-in hate, that's what messes shit
or fear
up.
Of what
I'll tell you, from
fear and hate are
Charles
very close.
Caleb Colson, I hate some people because I do not know them. And I will never know them because I hate them.
Who said that?
Charles Caleb Colson. So, which I'm sure is the Watergate
guy. There you go, baby.
But the idea is that we're going to hate people because we don't know them and we'll never get to know them because we hate them is that cyclical problem.
She's not. She's like on the dish. But like
she's got the boobs going again.
Sorry.
I had a profound moment. You guys
we just fucked all over my point. Just shit all over.
All over my point.
I'll tell you. Well, I have the number one thing. I say this to my daughters all the time. If there's one, the number one thing that I can tell you, you know, from a young age is teaching them the golden rule.
Do unto others.
I beat that. I said you're gonna have a much happier life if you can understand that the better that you treat other people, it's going to come back to you, you know. And you know, you want to act like a jerk, you know, act selfish, you want to be a poor sport, all this other stuff. It's all just, you know, the better you act to other people, the better people, more people want to be around you. The more people, the more friends you're going to have. The more friends you have, the more rich you're going to be, because that's how you. That's how I measure,
true wealth.
True wealth is friendships and true friendships, not by money. So anyway, we're going to go on to sports and the best news of the year.
Here we go. We got deep there for a while.
Red Sox, April 11th.
No,
right?
The best news.
No.
Tom Brady.
Two more years.
TB12, blowing that ball.
You're talking about foosball again, huh?
TB12, signed for another 2 years.
Extension.
He's going to be 40.
Steelers still 2 years with no Super Bowl.
He's going to be 40 years.
He's going to be 42,
right?
42 when it's done.
42 so years.
I've heard on the radio today on the way over that his replacement is more than likely playing as a junior in high school right now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Not coming.
What's your take?
Brady 2 years. Brady signed a 2-year extension. Yeah. I think it takes him through.
Yeah. 19 million a year.
2018, right? Is that what it takes him through?
Oh, dude, not
shabby. If he doesn't get injured, he's going to finish
through,
that contract.
It takes him through 2018. You know what he's going to do? He's going to play 16 and 17, and he's done. You could take it to the fucking bank right now.
I'll agree
with
that.
He is done in 2017, so your two-year extension is a two-year pay me back for all that little change I cut back on my contract to make sure.
Could be.
Trust me.
So what do you do with Garoppolo?
That's a good point.
Well, Garoppolo's a situation right now because you were literally on the fence with Garoppolo. He almost is Brady's replacement.
Like Rodgers.
He could almost be his replacement. Is the next Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know. That's the question.
Is he the next Andrew Luck? I don't think anybody's saying he is.
Right.
So is Belichick or are they going to go?
He could be the next Vince Ferragamo.
He could be the second.
Anybody?
Is he a Kaepernick? You know, who knows? But not as far as running, but you know what I mean, like success early on. So they have a decision to make this year, actually, with picks and everything coming up. Do you go and draft another quarterback? And or do you expose Garoppolo in the preseason next year, make him look awesome? Expose him by mean, give him some play, make him look awesome, and then use him chips for the following year? Or do they think that this guy – I don't think that they think this guy is the absolute answer. I just don't.
Look at all their
backups. Because he is not an Andrew Luck. You know, he isn't the superstar coming out year one or year two or year three. He's a good backup quarterback who is serviceable. And I know Brady went late and he wasn't this and he wasn't that.
They carried four quarterbacks to carry Tom Brady.
Yep.
Right?
You gotta come on now. Nobody saw that.
The Patriots know what they're doing.
The Patriots do know. I mean, did you know Brady would have started? I mean, it was a competition between Brady and Damon Hewitt. And then Britain, who would have known?
They
that?
Didn't know.
They could have started Hewitt. And
they didn't know. Totally.
But they carried him as the fourth quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. Fourth? Am I right?
They kept him. So
Hewitt and then
at one point he was the fourth quarterback.
That other kid, yeah.
To carry him because we see something in this guy that we believe in. Uh-huh. And so my thought is that Garoppolo is going to stay. Maybe Brady gets injured.
Wrap the question.
And then you got somebody who can come right in. Yep. And then it's going to be another year at least before we know whether or not.
I agree.
Yeah,
and that idea, whether or not they think Garoppolo is the real deal.
Going to be the key.
Here's how the Patriots work.
Or a four-game suspension.
Belichick sees talent, and Belichick goes, can I plug that guy into my system and make it work?
Okay.
Does Belichick after Brady?
He doesn't go after superstars like an Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson in a sense. It says, can I build a team around this guy?
Okay.
That's the two different ways that organization is run.
And he gets guys that are...
Belichick's days are numbered as well. One, for the reason for his choices last season, and two, because, I mean, his just days are numbered.
He's got a lot more...
I don't think Belichick wants to do this.
No, I don't think he does. I agree with Chris.
I think that Belichick may have 2 years. Tops. That's my gut feeling about Belichick.
I don't agree.
I think Belichick wants to take Brady back to another Super Bowl next year, which means they're going to – I won't get into too much football. They're going to fix their offensive line. They're going to fix their wide receiver. And they're going to fix a couple of their DL issues. I think Belichick's got one or two more shots. He wants to do it with Brady. And when he's done with Brady, he's done with football. Period. Over. Belichick, Brady, done. Same time.
I don't think so. Okay, here's my take. My take is – wants to show that he's just as good of a coach,
but he's not
without
Chris. Brady. You know what? I don't think Belichick will do that because you know what he doesn't want to risk? Belichick is not unlike Manning or Brady or some of these other superstar ego NFL characters. God forbid if Belichick tries to go out and test his, you know, it's not 2012. He's not going to go out and test his team without Brady again.
He's going to get Brady.
If he goes without Brady for a year and then he goes 4-8,
they were winning.
It's
with
a disaster
backup quarterback.
To his image.
What backup quarterback?
Matt Castle.
Brady was hurt.
Yeah,
Matt Castle.
Yeah, Matt Castle. Yeah. He had 1 year.
10-6.
Now that's what I'm talking about. He had 1 year with Matt.
Yeah, but he had more veterans around him in that year.
Yeah, he had an awesome team. Are you going to risk your legacy to roll the dice that I'm the man without Shaq? I think Kobe without Shaq. I'm Shaq without Kobe.
I think that
neither of you were anything without each other.
But when hasn't that happened? Pat Riley didn't coach after Magic and Kareem. Phil Jackson didn't coach after Jordan.
Pat Riley coached.
Of course they did.
Right, that guy retired. Because they he's dead in three years.
I think what happens is Belichick.
Basketball, you know,
football. If Belichick, doesn't matter. Belichick leaves the Patriots, he goes somewhere else for $100 bazillion, and says you got 8 to 10 years. Build our team. We'll give you whatever you want.
Yeah, I agree.
We're gonna shoot the lock.
That's
off.
Why I don't think he goes anywhere.
How long did that last, though? His point. How long did that last?
Right.
Two different animals, though. Mm. Parcells is that level four leader who's going to, you know, call you Mary and pick you up and tell you that your shoulder doesn't hurt. And the Belichick magic, transforms the mindset of an organization.
The magic never repeats. The magic never repeats.
Never?
I don't know.
Unless you go to Mexico and get that Viagra.
Oh, what I
think. You can repeat it every night.
Red Sox. Chris, you want to give us a Red Sox update?
Nice update. Craig probably gives it more than I can.
Where are they going to finish?
Huh? What's the record at the end of the
regular
season?
They can't do better as they did last year. So
it's going to be 95 to 100 wins. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This team, playoffs. With Price starting. You don't think so?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Right? 85 wins if they're lucky.
No.
Why? What are you looking at?
Character.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know the character of the team.
I think there's a bunch of guys on the team. We're going to look back and wait for the other guy to take care of something. And you look, it's the complete antithesis. If you look at like the Cowboy up days, when you had a bunch of underachievers who were all kind of like, let's have a shot.
Yeah, but
let's
go
at it. Let's challenge each
other.
Chemistry. I disagree.
Chemistry, but also challenging each other. And I think now you got like, let's see what he's going to do.
The young guys. Look at Betts. Look at, what's his name, the other one. The shortstop, Bogart.
Xander.
I don't think they're going to do that. And Pedroia's not going to let
them. I don't think they want to do that. But I think when you look over and go, I'm making my $7 million this year.
You're talking about Sandoval and Ramirez.
There's the guy making $19 million. What the hell?
I will know that Farrell will get a quick cut. If he start off slow, he's gone. There's no way he's going to survive the year. That's my opinion.
After coming off cancer?
Yep. That's a good call. That's a good call.
Yeah,
what if he
starts
off slow? And look at what the backup coach did.
Mm-hmm.
He's been gone. You have to look at that. Now, Fowles has one World Series, and then he has two last place finishes. No, three.
By the way, Valentine did a beautiful job. I was going to throw that
out.
Well,
I get what you're saying.
He came in to the place where Terry Francona held this guy's hands, totally stroked their egos, whatever you need, we're here, we're your pal. And management knew they need someone to come in and stick their foot up someone's ass. And not be popular, and not be a good guy, and not
that's
be this,
not good.
And total turn the tide. And he went in and did it.
Yeah.
So that Farrell could come in and do what he did.
Right, and that's
sure. But that was totally, Valentine did, and then nobody gives him his due. He did what needed to be done to have the fastest turnaround for that team by being the martyr.
By being the horrible manager that he was.
Yes, right.
He was a horrible manager. The train wreck of a manager that he was.
By doing things that
and promoting
popular,
and creating chicken
and didn't
make
anybody happy.
You know, the chemistry factor is huge. I agree with that. We don't know what this team is yet. It's too early to tell. The talent's there, but I don't know.
I think it's great for the fans that, you know what, actually they did lose last season because, you know, we get some cheap tickets this year. And that, like, you know what, the Red Sox are actually as an organization are hosting more events, so they're doing more bobblehead nights. There's going to be four this year. And they're doing a T-shirt night, a hat night. So they're creating more of these things that all these other ball clubs have always done. So now they're getting more aggressive with the advertising and what they're doing, and they're bringing more of these family events in. And let's face it, I go to a game. I go to a lot of games. You know, I probably go to 30 games a year, minimum. You know, I love it. I love to go to a game. I'm a fan of the game. You know, just watching baseball, the whole event. You know, getting the food and hanging out and seeing your friends. And think about Boston is like when you go there. You know, I see you host something at the game. There's always someone you know there at the game. Hey, dude, you're at the game too. Yeah, let's meet here. It's just that energy, that summer energy to me, regardless of what the team is doing, still brings me to Fenway. And I think it's great that Fenway is now starting to do some things to bring the families back in and bring friends back in. The ticket prices are fairly reasonable. And you know what? Hey.
Aren't we the highest prices in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, technically we are, but we're also one of the smallest parks. We're definitely one of the smallest parks. So it's everybody excited about that.
You can still get tickets compared to like not being paying three times over face like four or five years ago.
Exactly.
Like,
okay. Yeah. Four or five years ago, when they sold 500 games straight, I got a ball.
The Yankees are second
from the 500th game. And let me tell you, those tickets were tough to come by. So as being a true fan, you couldn't get into the game. You know what got me the most is when they won the World Series in Fenway Park, and I could not get a ticket.
Yeah, and I would have had my chance to
lop off one of my testicles and sell it to one of the friggin'.
I will tell you this.
That broke my heart.
If you go,
it broke my heart. I couldn't get into the game. You know?
I'll tell you.
Brevin, who's buying one of your testicles?
I bought three of them already. So
I have three of them.
One's got lumps on it. I'm going to sell that one.
Before you lop it off to sell it.
Yeah.
No, he makes them like, he's like a fucking hen with eggs.
You better have the money in your account first.
He's like a fertile hen. He shoots out new balls every 6 weeks. A new one pops out in a sack. Boom.
Yeah.
Sell it.
A fertile hen.
Fertile hen. Dropping nuts.
Dropping nuts like a motherfucker. So, I tell you, I go to Tampa like all the time. Just, we have good friends down in Tampa. And you go to those ball games and
JetBlue Pack, $6 a ticket.
All the way around the stadium is outdoor bars.
Yep.
With music.
Ebor City?
No, it's actually not that close to Ebor. Yeah. But buckets of beer for $12.
Mm. Yeah.
Ice cold.
Right.
Chicken wing, burgers, dogs.
Right.
Not for $8 hot dogs, not, you know, reasonably priced.
$10 to pack, $6 a ticket to get in the park.
Joey, the Red Sox lose 15 years in a row, you'll get $2 beers at Fenway.
Dude, they lost 98 fucking years in a row.
I mean, not miss the World Series. I mean, you'd be a cellar dweller for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Your prices have to come down because people got to make it on volume. Right. They're charging $8 a dog because they can get $8 a dog.
You get a great time at those games. There's a lot of people. They got a lot of fans that go to every game.
I still have to watch the Rays. Yeah.
You can watch baseball.
They have other stuff around. They do trivia now on Tuesday nights. So after you get done watching the game, they reopen the bar and you do trivia on the top deck.
That's actually sad.
Watching
the
Red Sox.
I was just saying, they're doing stuff.
They're doing stuff, Joey. That's all I'm saying. They're doing stuff. They're trying to create different things. They're doing stuff.
That did not help my argument.
Doesn't help the argument.
Hey, come on. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about the real sports.
If you go to the Boston Rocks game, Bill Lee will give you a shoulder rub.
There you go. Well, can we talk about real sports? Can we talk about farm bikini, speedo, dodgeball?
I would love to talk about that.
Now let's talk about a real sport. A real man sport.
I'm blowing you out.
Where you wear speedos in very cold weather.
Yes.
And you take shots in the nuts by other females throwing balls at your balls.
I don't know if it's in the rules, but that's allowed.
But it's quite interesting. And sometimes you have a slip. As you had mentioned in the video,
maybe one, two, or three.
This is all clean fun.
Slips of what?
You know what?
Very clean.
Slips. We do it for the kids.
All clean fun.
Very clean. 3 years ago. At the Y camp.
It's to help the kids.
Let's talk about what it's for.
It's for the children's.
Okay, so we did it before for charities, and I'm looking at the form this year. And it says the profits and benefits go to YMCA Camp Spindrift.
That's right.
Okay, yes. So this goes right to the local community. I think we can give a clap to that. You know? So, I mean, I don't usually go out there and make a fool out of myself, but if I am, I'm going to do it for a charity.
You always do.
Well, this one I go a little over.
He doesn't need a cause.
I used to be built for speed, okay? Now I'm built for dinner, okay? I changed a little bit.
Dough.
Yeah, exactly.
You used to be speed, now I'm dough.
Yeah.
Dinner. He's built for dinner.
You're looking at his
hat. Yeah, you got to have it. You got to have it. But, I mean, it's a crazy time. A bunch of people get together. And it's just, you know what? It's good, clean fun. A bunch of guys and girls get together. We do something for a charity. And you know what? It is what it is.
Yes.
You know, it's a local community getting together to support its local community.
Yes.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And for me to reach back and, like, I try to do that. Like, in my whole matrix at the end of the year, I try to weigh out, like, hey, what did I do? Like, did I do anything good this year?
Did I do anything constructive in my life?
Yeah. Did I really? And so you'll say, you know what? Did I put $100,000 more in the bank? Oh, did I get that new car, that new house? I'm like, no. Like,
What did I do to make a world a better place? What did I do to make people happy?
You wore a Speedo.
You wore a Speedo.
I wore a Speedo.
You wore a Speedo.
I wore a Speedo.
In hopes that somehow that would grace your community.
You
know,
there you go. Cash. There you go. And that is one. That is up there.
And that's fucking huge.
That is huge. That is huge. Yes. Like, you don't want to see me in a Speedo. Like,
I do.
No, you
once again, I do.
No.
And then I wanted to watch you pelt
a
small foam ball at 40 miles an hour at a young girl's breast while she's holding a beer as it splashes all over the spectators, and I go,
well,
that's why I came here.
Well, you know, hey, other people come for other reasons. That's okay. But, I mean, I just want to win one game. That's all.
Just one?
Oh, you haven't won one yet?
We haven't won one yet.
You have a lot of fun.
The studs that you bring out to this tournament.
I think
the Greek gods that are on your team, I think, and you guys haven't won a game.
I'm going to change it up. I think we're going to bring a secret weapon. I think I'm going to bring a model.
Napalm.
Secret weapon.
I have a picture for you.
And naked model. I'm going to have a distractor this year. I got to pull out all the stops. I need a distractor.
You need a dance stage behind you.
I need a band like behind me or something. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good
one. Shit.
She distracted.
The picture.
Yeah.
The picture.
Thigh gap.
I can't live it down.
I got one more thigh gap.
See my face?
CCCO.
Just send that to me.
But let's talk about more of that. Let's talk about more. So the boys are at the farm in Good Morning Gloucester putting this thing together. It's something that you guys have done for a number of years. You did take a little while off. We had a little intermission. But it's back. It's bigger. It's stronger. It's better. You're going to carpool if you're going to go there because there's not a lot of parking there. That's going to be down on the beach. And they're going to have those shuttles running up there. And we're going to practice some safe bikini speed of dodgeball,
you know, I think that's what it's coming down to.
It sucks, you know.
All right, I'm just going to put this out there for the people that participate. Over the course of the year, is there a more fun day for you?
Honestly, this is one of the most fun days of the year. I have people talking about me. As soon as it ends, they start the timer on when the next one is going to happen next year. Yeah. That's how good it is. Because, you know, it's one of those things where you just get to go and have fun. And it's just a bunch of
there's
people.
There's great spirit.
Yeah, there's great spirit.
Is there a better day than this during the course of the year?
No, speak.
Especially last year. You guys know my rival, Blinded by the White, the champ. You can't beat him.
Dude, you can't
beat him. Wait. You consider them a rival. I don't think they consider you a rival.
I don't really think they consider you a rival.
Last year, what team on, is he?
They're the Patriots. What team is his?
Yeah.
Affecting the New England Patriots.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? And you guys are the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay?
No.
Oh, they could be the Red Sox.
We were not the Jaguars.
I'm going to tell you a great storyline.
The Bengals.
I'm going to tell you a great storyline from this year. The three-time reigning champs, younger brother of Zeke Vezina's younger brother
Jason
is bringing a squad this year.
He's bringing a squad
and a separate squad
from the team.
Yeah. So the younger brother. Yes. And I'm going to tell you what.
Blinded's got a spinoff.
I'm going to tell you. Well, it's a brother. The brother's never played on the team.
Lefty. I don't think those kids don't have a chance.
So hold on a second. I'm going to tell you what seems to be a factor from my vantage point, looking down at the thing every single year, what seems to be a big vantage point, being young and flexible and they'd be able to wing those balls.
Matt Sawyer is the reason that
Matt Sawyer last year is the absolute champ. Two-time champ.
I'm old.
He got the final out 2 or 3 years in a row.
It's crazy. He drops down, you throw the ball, he drops. Just the wiliness of him.
They also have a strategy. If people would be
smart, they would be smart to study what they do.
If people paid me, they could figure out their strategy.
You know what? We haven't seen the video yet.
But you ain't got enough money.
You have no right to talk right now.
He didn't even respond to the Facebook.
I was on fire last year. I want to see my video.
You're the only man on earth who's actually seen the videotape.
Is there a videotape? Does it actually exist?
Bitches.
It doesn't exist.
Bitches.
Tie things together, Joey.
Bitches. Have I not?
Is this like the Zapruder film?
First off,
if a tree fell in the woods and no one. Fucking saw her fall. Did I make a noise?
First off, okay. Have I not put out epic bikini dodgeball cinematic masterpiece movies?
You absolutely have.
3 years ago.
You have a larger corner last year. What are you bitches so far about?
We didn't have it the year before, didn't we?
Every year that I've filmed it, you've experienced it. Definitely, without a doubt.
It's been
coming.
I was in the shower the other day.
You're in the
Wait. Listen, no, honestly, this is true.
Yeah. Well, you went to the
I was with him.
True story. A lot of the bikini speedo dives well people won't be listening to, probably don't listen to this, so they won't know. But I think this would be absolutely epic if you put together a 30-second. You know how you can do those videos where it's just
flashes
of images, boom, 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 and you have the music just go, and yeah, like
settle,
and then like at the end, like a big cloud, a dust of smoke, just
blinded by the white,
and then just post it on that Facebook page and with no words or anything like that, it'd be
10,000. Yeah. You know what music you want? Mid 1970s Bruins. You know?
You know what I'm talking about. Oh, yo, you were around. Yeah.
The music that has to go on that video is the mid-70s Bruins.
Send your suggestions. So I will put out a teaser.
But I don't want anyone to, I kind of don't want anyone to know about it. I just want you to drop it out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
And I take it this year we're going to have better referees. This year we have
sober referees. You know, they got a little too drunk. They missed a few calls.
I'm taking over and I'm going to be one of the referees.
Chris, we'll drink.
I'm going to have a beer or two. I'm not going to get like that.
Chris can handle his liquor. These guys just got fucking blotto, blinded.
They didn't get
fucked up. That was too
much. So what we're saying this year is no more amateur fucking referees literally shit tanked four games in. Can't have it.
Yeah, no.
Can't have it.
This is all legit this year. Totally legit. I got some really disturbing news today. I just read this on Twitter, actually. I heard that Rene Rancourt may retire next year.
Well, he was saying that. Today, talking about his career.
Are they demanding too much of him for 14 minutes a year?
What do you mean 14 minutes a year?
Singing the national anthem.
A year or a day?
Took me forever to find it.
That's the music
you want to go along with your video montage.
Sounds like Snoopy.
I always feel like something like that ramps up like... And boom!
I got you covered.
You know what?
This is what I do. Don't worry.
Like, what are we doing this year? Like remember we did the... What was it we did 2 years ago?
Oh, we did the thing that was the epic. What was that craze? That was they had the horse hands.
We went to the horse costumes.
Everyone was like the Harlem Shuffle.
The Harlem Shuffle.
We don't have anything
planned for this year.
Well, we're gonna come up with a new one. We're gonna call it the Gloucester Drop.
You gotta come up with something.
The Gloucester Drop. Bitches gotta drop it like it's hot.
You never saw that, Rick?
That was on.
That's an epic picture.
That was very famous photo.
I saw that, but I never caught your face in the picture.
So yes, big things popping off. Bikini Dodgeball this year. Movie coming. Craig sucks. Don't worry, I'll get
David
it taken
Cox
care.
Took that. That
but like, let's keep it. Let's keep it on the down low. No one even mention it because I want him to put the. I just want him to post that to the Dodgeball Facebook page, and just let everybody's fucking faces melt. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, is he gonna really make the video? And like, don't say another word. And then just like, then we just show the.
Request: do two versions, one with the Bruins goals, and see which one gets more likes.
Oh, interesting. I say you can't ask too much.
I'll pay you for your time.
I'm confident somebody's gonna find out. That's a first on this island. On the island, can you do me a favor? One quick video. I'll pay you to put all three nipple slips into it.
Once you start launching
that media too, that's when everybody
goes nuts
and wants a piece of it. And by that time, it's already checkmate.
We're five weeks out right now.
Yeah,
and you know, 5 weeks out. Okay, talk to me in 2.
All
right. I got a tough 3 weeks ahead of me.
So I need that photo of the nice swimsuit thing. So we'll add that to the show notes.
Oh, my baby girl. Okay, I'll send it to you. Right there.
Your baby girl. All right, guys. It's been a great homie cast 14.
What are you talking about? Today's leap day.
You got what?
What are you talking about? Today being leap day. Today was the day that women could ask you to marry them, or ask you out on a date. Today's the only day in 4 years.
in this day and age, in 2016.
Well, Did the ladies not know where I was today?
I'm just telling you. We got another couple hours. That's why I'm hiding out here with you guys. You know?
Because
I don't want the ladies pushing up on me. We got 3 hours and 10 minutes. You're going to stay clear.
Sadie Hawkins Day?
Sadie Hawkins Day. So it's an old Irish thing. So just be careful. Just be careful, men. You know? All right.
My goodness. Yeah, leap year, baby.
And go vote tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes. Go vote, bitches.
Get out the vote.
Super Tuesday.
Very super.
Pooper Tuesday.
Craig Kimberly, Chris the Wolf, James Eames, the Rabbit.
Yep, the Rabbit.
Rick Dowsett, Joey Schimmertau. Y'all have a great night.
Oh.
Say your word to me. You already committed perjury.